From Ag Outlook Forum information to the Supreme Court decision, there's a lot of things this market's looking at on a Friday. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Sam Hudson joins us today with Corn Belt Marketing. And let's start out with the Ag Outlook Forum because it's day number two. We continue to receive data and information, and we know it's just information that's being looked at from a desk perspective. We don't have any countryside to back it, but it's still getting some market reactions.
Yeah, it certainly is. And I don't know that the area provided a lot of surprise for the market to chew on. I think the average trade guess was around 95 million in corn, came in at 94, and we had to expect that they were going to pair that with a trend yield up around 183 or 184. What's interesting about that, Susan, I think what was I was probably more interested in going into it is how they were going to handle some of the demand projections. They've been lagging, you know, for better part of a year and a half, almost 2 years on our demand front, especially for corn. And to see that they've put a little bit more optimism in there for the biofuel side of things and keeping exports strong, I think is a little bit positive. And I think what you have to take notice of is despite that acreage number and a trend yield, our stock to usage on the balance sheet still fell 1.5%. And so I think that necessitates that we have to have a good yield here this year. And with the way weather is, I think a lot of that is still kind of uncertain. But I don't think we can really conjure up any idea of risk until you get to June or July. As complacent as people are on the production side in general here.
Well, you know, the latest drought monitor, though, it does not look promising with continued dryness and expansion of drought. But you said even in your neck of the woods, there's some early field work that's already being done. And we're only looking, you know, at the 20th of February.
Absolutely. And that's kind of surprisingly so. And we still don't even have all the frost out of the ground yet, but it's very dry. And even as that frost comes out, we're not seeing, you know, very many mucky conditions out here. I've got to recognize too, for the calendar year last year, we were actually only about 3 inches better than the 1988 drought. And so I think that underscores just how poor things, are right now. We can certainly hold water pretty well though, Susan, if we get some rains in March. I think that'll, settle a lot of those fears. But it's certainly something that's in the back of everyone's mind.
The other thing that popped up today on a Friday, the Supreme Court in a 6-3 ruling said that the Trump's emergency tariffs could not be enacted without approval from Congress. We did get a little bit of initial reaction from the markets, but now is it just into a, wait and see what happens next mode?
I think so, largely. And there is actually some, level of argument here that with tariffs off, it might actually help stimulate our trade further, as long as we didn't cancel what we've already shipped or the unshipped portion of that. And that's going to be left to be seen. I'm not surprised how the market took it. We've had funds on the buy side of beans and back into a long position again. And anytime you see that uncertainty, sometimes the initial reaction is not necessarily bullish or bearish, but it's just to pull your hands and legs inside the bus. And I think that's what that was. Now that we've heard that there's, potentially going to be additional tariffs on top, I think that's just going to continue to add the uncertainty. And next week, we'll have to continue to look at reactions. And you have to keep in mind, too, over the weekend, these tensions with Iran continue to escalate as well around the edges.
I was going to say that geopolitical pressure is still going to be sitting there on the backside watching these markets as well.
Yeah, it really is. And a lot of this is dialing up right before we kind of get into the weather season again. And unfortunately, the enthusiasm that wheat and beans have seen has not carried over to the corn market. And I think that really just translates to the first notice day blues here for corn. You've had a lot of open interest still stacked up in there. We're still dealing with the hangover from the January crop report. And I think you got a ton of cash needs out here ahead of March 1st with cash rents due and people still waiting for that government money.
And what about the insurance pricing? How do you see that weighing in into what we're got going on?
Well, I think this ties to and speaks to the bean corn ratio. We've seen a substantial rally since these headlines kind of came about again with the potential for additional demand. And with the laziness of the corn market, you got the, bean corn ratio strengthening again and maybe calling for some beans. When you compare base prices year to year, we were 10.54 last year. You're looking at a base price right now, as it should say, I think 11.02 compared to corn, which is 4.60. And that's about 10 cents less than last year. So if we drew that many corn acres in last year due to price, my guess is you could probably lose a decent chunk of those, especially when you look at how fertilizer prices affected alongside that bean market.
Do you think we might see China coming back to the market now that the Lunar New Year celebrations are wrapping up?
Certainly possible, but I don't know that I would look for, really heavy volumes until we sort some of this other tariff stuff out and see how that translates to these meetings that they're going to be having at the end of March. Keep in mind, that's going to be taking place just as we learn, prospective acreage and planting numbers, see if they match what we saw in the Ag Outlook Forum. And if we, suddenly walk into more demand or see a fear of losing more of it, that could certainly adjust prices again right before we go to the field.
Head over to the livestock side of it, waiting on the cash, but with a cattle on feed report, do you think the cash might hold out till after those numbers at 2 o'clock?
Well, it's certainly possible. You're going to get a knee-jerk reaction on Monday no matter what, and not surprised to see a little bit of the edge taken off here just the way the market's acted, and you know, again, just kind of a risk-averse situation while we see a number, but I don't think it's going to tell us anything we don't, you know, still already know. We still have a relatively tight herd situation. You're probably on the front end of expanding that, but very far from really realizing that. And I really think the demand here as we go into grilling season is going to help, tell the tale of the tape in terms of what prices really need to do.
Especially when we see the midday box beef cutouts anywhere from, 126 to 150 higher on the midday. That sets the tone as well.
It does. And you have the feeder cattle index that's finally struck a new high for the move and closed all the gaps. From back in that October-November timeframe. We'll see if the futures market can follow suit.
All right, Sam Hudson joining us today with Corn Belt Marketing. A quick reminder that commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. And that's the Friday market wrap-up on the American Ag Network.